From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good evening and welcome to our Gospel program. We're glad that each one of you have tuned in this evening. Tonight we come to the fourth saying of Christ on the cross. We'll be reading in Matthew chapter 27 in just a moment. This fourth saying of Christ is the great cry of the Saviour as he suffers beneath the wrath and judgment of God for the sins of his people. This is the middle saying. We have looked at three of the sayings of Christ, and after this one, we have three more sayings of Christ to consider. So this is the fourth saying. And how appropriate that it is the cry that takes us to the very heart of the Saviour's sufferings. We will also be hearing another extract from my book, The Shadow of the Antichrist, which is an exposition of the book of the Revelation. But please remember that we have been also offering a sermon tape by the Reverend Paul Fitton on the subject of pocket monsters. A new craze for kids, a dangerous one from all that Mr. Fitton has to say. The book and the tape are, of course, free. But let's turn now to Matthew chapter 27. We'll read from verse 45, just a few verses. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. That's from midday until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And about the ninth hour, which was also the hour when the Lamb was offered in the temple, the time of the evening sacrifice. How appropriate it was then that at that time Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. May God bless this reading from his word. Here's that extract that we referred to from The Shadow of the Antichrist. It's a comment that I make upon the first reference in the book of the Revelation to the return of Christ. And that reference is found right there in the opening verses of the book, the verses 4 through to 8. Here's the extract. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. The splendor of the Saviour's coming. John's soul is carried upward and forward, and he sees by faith the return of Christ. Is not this the direction that our souls will take when we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? The spiritually elevated soul will ever be conscious of that glorious event, the return of Christ. Is not indifference to his return a mark of carnality? A lively, industrious, conscientious church is one that ever contemplates the Saviour's promised return. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Matthew 25, verse 5. Let us not sleep in indifference, but toil and sing in anticipation of his return. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof. Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. Notice these words of John in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. The coming of Christ is central to the creed of the saints. He cometh with clouds. The Lord Jesus is coming again. That is the expectation of the church. He has clearly stated that he will return. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. This promise was emphasized upon his ascension. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. As his ascension was marked by clouds, so shall his return. Nahum tells us, The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Nahum chapter 1, verse 3. The heavens shall be set astir when the Lord comes again. The coming of Christ shall be manifest. Every eye shall see his coming. The first to see him will be those who look for him, whose eyes and thoughts never stray from the expectation of his return. The unbelieving world will also see him. Those who will have given allegiance to Antichrist, and thereby denied and denounced Jehovah, will see him to their utter consternation. Special reference is given to Israel. The appellation used is not one of the many names of endearment bestowed by the Lord upon his ancient people. No, rather it is that title of shame, they also which pierced him. That is their title today. That awful sin stands yet against their name. Though ecclesiastical dignitaries and parliaments and councils may decree pardon and mouth forgiveness, the crime stands unforgiven in heaven. Turn with me now, please, to Matthew chapter 27 and the cry of the Lord Jesus on the cross as it's recorded in the verse 46. The Lord Jesus, from the very day of his birth as the Son of Man, knew suffering. He came into a world that knew him not. He was a stranger and a sojourner among men. He made the world, but the world knew him not. But it was at the cross that the sufferings of our Saviour reached their climax. We can understand something of the dark forebodings of the Saviour on the eve of his crucifixion, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew chapter 26, in the verse 36, we read concerning the Garden of Gethsemane. Then cometh Jesus with them, that's the disciples, unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. The horror that the Lord Jesus Christ was here experiencing was not the thought of betrayal by Judas, or the forsaking by his disciples, or indeed of the dreadful sufferings he was to endure at the hands of men. These were great and sore trials, but they were not the cause of the horror of darkness that gripped his soul in Gethsemane. It was the realization of the sufferings that he was to endure as the sin-bearer, when the wrath of God would fall upon him on the cross, that filled the Savior with a horror. And what a horror it was. As we have read in the verse 38 of Matthew chapter 26, he began to be exceeding sorrowful. If we turn over to Mark and the chapter 14, there in the verse 33, another expression is used to describe the Savior's feeling. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed. That word implies an amazement, an extremity of emotion, whereby the very hairs of your head stand on end. What depression pressed the soul of the Lord Jesus as he anticipated the dreadful sufferings of the cross. In Luke, the chapter 22, and the verse 44, we read another word is employed to describe the Savior's feelings. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Sweating blood. Gethsemane, the place where this all happened, means the oil press. And the Lord Jesus, before he came to the cross, experienced great sufferings just by the anticipating of what it was he was to endure on the cross. We're going to return to the subject next week as we think of the Savior forsaken by God as he hung there, an offering for sin. May God touch your heart with a view of Christ this evening. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His Word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.